today on Life Talk.
Now I want you to think of the numerous American presidents that have all tried and failed. I remember Jimmy Carter trying to bring a peace deal all the way back with Anwar Sadat and all of that. I remember virtually every president that I can remember since Carter has tried to do it. And they have failed. You know why? Because it's never going to happen until the man of sin, the Antichrist, brokers that peace treaty.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
No man can accurately predict the future apart from the guidance of Almighty God. Hi, and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're continuing the series, Courageous Living in Trying Times, taken from the book of Daniel. Of all of Daniel's prophecies, none has been more discussed than his vision regarding Israel and her future called Daniel's 70 weeks. What does that mean? And how does this particular vision affect us today? So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Daniel's 70 weeks.
Daniel had holy habits. They created a holy life. And that holy life made him the recipient of incredible revelations from God. Now, he's interceding for his people in chapter 9. The chapter begins with Daniel giving us the timing of when all of this takes place. Daniel 9, 1 and 2. Here's the timing. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Next, he begins his prayer. And let's look at his prayer. It's a model intercessory prayer. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayers and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So notice he is in humility. He is humbling himself. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession. And I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Now notice he begins by praising God for his goodness. How do you start a really good prayer session? You enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I mean, listen, don't ever start a real prayer time without thanking God. That's the gateway into his presence. You want your prayer time to be saturated in the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 5. He says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. Now remember, he's in Babylon and they're in captivity. So look what he says. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Now look, he confesses the sins of Israel. First and foremost, what does he confess? That they departed from God's word. Then verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. As it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. He appeals here to God's mercy, knowing that they don't deserve mercy. He's saying, we're guilty as charged, says Daniel, but God, I'm appealing to your mercy. We don't deserve it, but I'm asking you to give it. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. They're almost done with their captivity, and he's saying, Judah, captive in Babylon, has not even collectively repented yet. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. They lost their testimony. Now, therefore, verse 17, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. He said, I can't ask you, Lord, to have mercy based on anything we've done right. I'm asking you to have mercy because you're a merciful God. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, after this prayer, let me ask you, were they released? Did God release them from captivity? Yes, he did. Just shortly after this. It wasn't far from this prayer that God released them. So you know what? God heard this prayer because Cyrus, the king of Persia, will one day say to them, to Nehemiah, his cupbearer, go back and rebuild your city and take all of the people that want to go with you. Amen. And go. And they were released from captivity. Now next, we come to one of the most difficult prophetic passages in the entire Bible. It's called Daniel's 70-week prophecy. But I'm going to make it simple to understand. You're going to get it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to have a great big praise God moment when we see this prophecy. Amen. And what God did as far as fulfilling the vast majority of it. Now let's look at verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, he just means there that he looked like a man, because Gabriel ain't no man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. He informed me, and he talked with me, and he said, O Daniel, I've now come forward to give you skill to understand. Everybody say, God opens my eyes. Verse 23, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks, said Gabriel, are determined. Now look who for. Your people and your city, so that's the Jewish people and Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Who do you reckon this is talking about? Everybody say, Jesus. Amen. Now, a week in this prophecy is not comprised of 7 24-hour days like we would talk about a normal week. But it's 7 years. Each day in the week represents 1 year. So let's read the next verse, 25, slowly. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So let's just make it easy and say 69 weeks. Now, but he broke it up into two sections, 7 and 62. So that tells us that something very relevant is going to happen in 7 weeks or 49 years, and then in 434 years or 62 weeks. So what happens in the first 7 weeks or 49 years? Well, that's easy. Jerusalem, says Gabriel, would be restored in 7 weeks or 49 years. Isn't that what he just said in verse 25? To restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So what happens in those 7 weeks or 49 years? If we go into history, it's easy to find. It took the Jews 49 years to restore Jerusalem from the time of their release. It's in the record books. They did it in 7 weeks or 49 years.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So there's the first 7 weeks. Everybody say 7 weeks done. I think it's pretty cool that Gabriel had added, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Well, we know this is what happened based on what we read in the book of Nehemiah. If you want to know how this went down, read Nehemiah. Because we know that the Jews' enemies, like Sanballat and Tobiah, they were persecuting them and always trying to hinder their work and put fear on them and stop them, fought them tooth and nail from rebuilding the wall and the temple. So they rebuilt that city in troublesome times, just like Gabriel said. Amen. And they did it in 7 weeks, 49 years. So, say with me, the first 7 weeks fulfilled.
The first 7 weeks fulfilled.
Now we come to the next one, 62 weeks. Let's read on. From the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks to restore Jerusalem. And 62 weeks from the completion of the restoration of Jerusalem, when they were done restoring it, then the next 62 weeks kicked in, or 434 years. Stay with me now. They go in there, they rebuild the wall, they rebuild the temple, they restore Jerusalem, and it takes 49 years. It takes those 7 weeks. Then as soon as that's done, then that 62 weeks kicks in. And what is 62 times 7? 434. So something is supposed to last 434 years, or take that long, from the finishing of the restoration of Jerusalem until what? The Messiah. Look at verse 26 carefully. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Who was it for? It was for us. This is an amazing prediction of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is cut off or killed, not for himself, but for the whole world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let's do a little more math. Gabriel tells Daniel that from the time God's people are released to rebuild Jerusalem to the cutting off of Messiah will be 62 weeks. That's 434 years. Now, let's do a little more math. King Cyrus of the Persians gave the decree for the Jews to return to their homeland around 458 BC. If you take that date and add 434 years to it, Daniel 62 weeks, it takes us almost precisely to the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. This is a profound prediction and fulfillment. You know what the chances of somebody being able to do this are? Nostradamus could not hold a candle to this. Nobody looking in a crystal ball can do this. This is Daniel being visited by Gabriel. Gabriel said, I'm going to give you understanding of what's coming for your people. It's going to take them 49 years from the time they're released to rebuild their city. Then it's going to take 434 more years for the whole reason I started the Jewish race to come to pass. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to start the Semitic race so that from that race would come Messiah. And now Gabriel is telling him exactly how long it's going to take, 4 centuries and 34 years. And you can do the math. If you go into history, it's easy to go into history books. There's lots of places you can access to find this out. But the chances of anyone being able to accurately prognosticate the timing of all these events coming together at once is unfathomable, unless you happen to be God. Now, that takes care of 7 weeks, 49 years for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and 62 weeks or 434 years of history leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. So we have 1 week left to reach the total of 70 weeks, because there's one left. 483 years are used up. They've already come to pass. So let me ask you a question. If he was right on the 7 weeks, 49 years, and he was right on the 434 years or 62 weeks, you reckon he's right about the final week?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Daniel continues. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27. But then he shall confirm a covenant with many for what?
1 week.
There's your last week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And I'm going to make sense of this for you. The final week in Daniel's prophecy is revealed right here in verse 27. It will begin when the Antichrist cuts a peace deal with Israel for 1 week or 7 years. You see, the Antichrist is the he in verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. How long is the Great Tribulation?
7 years.
So this 1 week is very, very crucial. It's yet to happen. And we're watching the whole world prepare for this final week. Now I want you to think of the numerous American presidents that have all tried and failed. I remember Jimmy Carter trying to bring a peace deal all the way back with Anwar Sadat and all of that. Remember that? If you were around back then? I remember virtually every president that I can remember since Carter has tried to do it. And they have failed. You know why? Because it's never going to happen until the man of sin, the Antichrist, brokers that peace treaty. Where is the eye of the world right now when it comes to conflict that nobody seems to be able to fix and it vexes the whole world? Where does it originate from? That tiny piece of real estate smaller than New Jersey, Israel. Now, the Bible mentions this elsewhere. The Bible warns us of fruitless attempts to bring Middle East peace, and there will be no peace in Israel or the world until Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, returns at the very end of the coming 7-year apocalypse. And only then are we going to have real peace, because Antichrist will bring a false peace. Now listen to Ezekiel. I believe that both the verses I'm about to read to you are at least alluding to this peace treaty that Antichrist will do. Because they have seduced my people, Israel, saying peace, and there was no peace. And then Jeremiah 8, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, Israel, slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Antichrist will step onto the world stage, and one of the things that will make him mega famous is he will pull this off. It'll be on CNN, Fox, it'll be on all the networks. They'll all be blasting the headline, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, finally peace in the Middle East. And they'll be panning onto and pulling in tight on a man. I don't know who, but he'll be smiling. He'll be magnetic. He'll be charismatic. He'll be persuasive. He'll be convincing. He'll be promising. And folks, listen, the world will place their trust in him. Now, I used to wonder, how could that ever happen in America? I don't wonder anymore. Oh, no. Let me read you something out of the New Testament. The Bible warns to beware of peace movements when it comes to the Middle East. Paul writes, For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, the coming apocalypse, that's the day of the Lord, so comes as a thief in the night. Nobody will be expecting it. For when they say what? Peace and safety, then what comes? Sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Then he talks to the church. But you, brethren, meaning believing Christians who have put their faith and trust in the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ, you are not in darkness, so that this day, the coming apocalypse, should overtake you as a thief. Because you ought to understand the times, especially if you're going to Turning Point. Because we go into this a lot. Woe to the churches that have put the Word of God aside and gone into a bunch of gobbledygook and New Age stuff. They don't have a clue. Listen, we need to have our noses buried in the Word of God. Now, here's what's going to happen. Halfway through the final week, 3.5 years in, Antichrist is going to show the world who he really is. And he's going to break this treaty and commit the abomination of desolation. Look what Daniel says. And I guarantee you it's going to happen. In the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. One of the things that he's going to do is he's going to somehow work it where the Jews can reinstitute their old sacrificial system. And they will have their Old Testament sacrificial system back into play in a rebuilt temple. And that's one of the things that's going to convince them, this guy's for us because he's given us back our religion. But 3.5 years in, this man, personal pronoun, he's not an idea, it's not a metaphor, he's referred to as a man and as he, the personal pronoun he, singular. This man will walk into the temple, and he will go into the Holy of Holies, and he will commit the abomination of desolation. Now, we've already gone over that Antiochus Epiphanes did that in the Old Testament, and he took a pig into the Holy of Holies and desecrated it, and that was called the abomination of desolation. But Jesus in Matthew 24 talks about another one to come. So it can't be talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and looking backward. He's looking forward to this happening again. And we know here it's the Antichrist, because on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. That's the abomination of desolation Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24. He's confirming Daniel. And when he commits the abomination of desolation, the Jews freak out. Oh my Lord, he's not who we thought. Now, I don't know what the abomination will be. If you went through Revelation with me, then you know that it might be an image of him. Bible and Revelation talks about an image. He makes the image in there speak. He makes the image to talk, to communicate. I don't know, but we don't need to know. Amen. We just need to know that in that 7 year, that last week, that halfway in it, he walks in and does this. And when he does, all hell breaks loose. And persecution is unleashed on the Jewish people. We thought he was our friend. Peace, peace, they say, when suddenly there is no peace and tribulation comes upon them like a woman in childbirth. Yes. We thought he was for us. He's against us. He fooled us. He lied to us. Yes, because he's the representation of the father of lies. And then Daniel says, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So 1 week remains, church, in Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks. 1 week remains. The other 69 are done. And they happen just like he said. 49 years, 434 years. 434 years from when they finished Jerusalem to when Jesus was hung on the cross. Now we got 1 week left. When is it going to kick in? Here's when it's going to kick in. It kicks in when a peace covenant is signed that is 7 years long. If you wake up and CNN and MSLSD and Fox and CBS and all of them are blasting about a peace treaty that is 7 years long, and look at this guy who did it. Woo, lift up your heads. Because now the hourglass is turned upside down and we're in the last week.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.